football on off the ball.
Once the fallibility centre sets in, once age starts to catch up with him, once Stephen Hendry's there, Steve Davis rolling back the years is one of the great things in snooker. Just because he was old and, as you know, to use John's phrase, had exposed his feet of clay.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
All right, welcome to the Power Rankings on Off The Ball with Harvey Norman, official stats sponsor of the GAA. It's the football version this week, and what better way to do this than have Meath versus West Meath?
Yeah, we had it last week too. We had it last week in studio, or I was remote, but I just said I'd better front up this week and come into studio.
Should I tell you who's on the show? It's Tommy Rooney, host of the renowned football pod, and Matthew Brennan, the happiest man in Off The Ball HQ this
week. Yeah, I think that would be a fair
assessment.
Which
I think is the title that you were deserving of most.
Oh yeah, well look, I've come in, David Hyland referenced the springing the Westmeath people's step, heading wherever they were going over the last couple of days, and I've most certainly got the springiest of springs in my step. How are you, Tommy?
I'd say there was a fair spring in David Hyland's step as well, because the Kildare boys are all excited to be playing Westmeath. And if the Kildare lads saw the amount of messages I received from all around the country over the weekend, I never knew how much people cared about Meath again. And it's really lifted my heart. You know?
Has it really though?
It has, and I'll come back to that in a couple of minutes. Matthew Brennan, of course, was straight in with an emoji. Just sent me a single emoji on WhatsApp. A winky face.
Let me guess.
Mm. And I was trying to focus on the hurling at the time between Clare and Waterford. I wasn't even listening to the game.
I thought you were going to do the Kevin James, King of Queens.
No.
That's just what we do. But you went straight for the jugular.
If the Haaland stuff had happened a little bit earlier, I might have sent him a screenshot of Haaland.
Matthew, we'll get into it in a minute. Like, all joking aside, Westmeath. Westmeath.
Stop joking now.
We're phenomenal.
Lampard,
we're phenomenal on Sunday. And once Meath gave them a sniff 15-20 minutes into the game that Meath were a little bit off it, they went for the throat, and they really, really went for it. And by the end of the game, when Meath came back into it and all the Westmeath boys were kind of falling and were, you know, a couple went off injured, they'd obviously played the week before, Meath had left them too much to do. So we'll get into it in a couple of minutes.
Usually people are very excited about a top 8. Usually, right?
Yeah,
top 8.
Yeah.
There's not necessarily much movement here, but we get to where you want to go.
There's one significant mover. Let's just go from the back.
Okay.
I'm going to rattle you through what we have. On the fourth slide this week, from 33 to 25, there's one mover.
Okay.
And the Division 4 champions, Carlo, have slipped back to 25th. And that's because, despite losing at the weekend, and we'll come back to this a little later, it's one of our features of the week, Wicklow have actually gained 2 places in the power rankings, and I might get a bit of grief for this, but anyway, I just implore you to go and try and get a hold of the match footage of this game. I watched it back at the weekend. Lads, Wicklow will be haunted. Like, 2-14 to 2-16 defeat to Dublin. We'll come back to it in a couple of minutes. It's our Hawkeye moment of the week as well, the close call of the week. Limerick have also dropped back a slot too. They've had a tough start to the year. And also on the second slide, between 17 and 24, Wexford, promoted from Division 3, have dropped back to 18th position. Cavan have moved back from the second slide to 17th position. Cavan's place in the All-Ireland Series is still okay for the moment. Mm. But Westmead, who have climbed another couple of spots, obviously Westmead are probably better than 16th in the country. You would imagine they might be, Matthew, and you might argue with me over this one. But not getting promoted this year was a serious blow. They lost to Laois, they lost to Down, they fell short against Wexford, but they produced the goods when it mattered in Championship football, and Championship football matters more than anything else. And Westmead now, look at the team two above them, Down are going into Sunday now against Donegal, knowing that if Kildare don't do them a favour, Kildare, who are already guaranteed a place in the All-Ireland Series, if Kildare don't beat Westmead in the Leinster semi-final, and don't beat Donegal, Down are consigned to Tailteann Cup football again for 2026.
He's given you a lot to reply to there.
Yeah, no, he is, for sure. I suppose I should just address Westmead at 16 first. Obviously, they've jumped up 2 places from where they were.
How far did you want them to rise?
No, it's because this is the thing, right? I'm not going to come here and I'm going to take maybe a moral high ground here, and that, like, you know, I'm in a position.
I don't like that.
I'm in a position of power here. You know, Tommy wants me to get rattled here and, you know, have a go, and that's not really what I'm going to do.
You've separated yourself from us physically.
Yes, you could say that. Yeah, for sure. I'm looking at the teams that are in front of them, like, you're in the immediate in front of them. We'll get on to Meath in a minute, who are not actually that far ahead of them now.
Not anymore.
Where they were last week. Mm. That's a serious swing. You've got Tyrone, who obviously didn't play after losing to Armagh. You've got Monaghan, who won at the weekend. You've got Down there, who are obviously playing this weekend. You've got Kildare, who picked up a win on their own. I think I would have thrown him ahead of Kildare after their the result at the weekend.
That's interesting.
But I think that we spoke last week about that little bit of, I think we used the word flakiness, and it was you used it reluctantly, obviously, as a Meath man talking to a West Meath man ahead of the game, and I used it myself as well about them not getting over the line in that game against Wexford and a couple of other times, and kind of not turning up at all against Laois in O'Moore Park earlier on in the league. I wouldn't say they've banished those demons just yet in the way the game finished. I think a lot of it was down to fatigue, having played the week before, but they definitely let Meath back into the game, as you said, left them with too much. Meath left themselves with too much to do. But I think that flakiness element of it was certainly removed a slight bit, and I think I would have pushed them a little bit ahead of Kildare there, maybe, well, into 15. But I wouldn't be. It's not egregious by any means.
You know well, I suppose, the quality that's within this Westmeath team, and we would have been so impressed when they won the Tatchin Cup a couple of years ago. But yeah, they lost some key players like Ronan O'Toole and a few others. But what they've gained over the last little while is some real stars, some younger fellas that have come in and just added so much to what they have. And there's lots of young talent coming through in Westmeath, you know, from the 20s and schools football over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
But I love this from Luke Loughlin talking to Jonathan Higgins after the game.
Yeah.
And the post-match interviews from Westmeath with Jonathan were fabulous this weekend.
They were,
And the football went a little bit under the radar. I kind of flagged it during the week. I thought there was going to be a shock in Leinster.
Mm.
I was trying to tell Paddy on Monday on the football pod that Wicklow put it up to the Dubs. I got a bit of a look. I kind of thought Wexford would be a lot closer to Louth, and they weren't, and that's possibly why Louth have risen so much. And also Laois could have caught Kildare. The shock was Meath, West Meath. And when you look at the way that the bookies had the game lined up, it's a seismic shock. But I think when you look at the form lines of these two, Matthew and Cullum, over the last couple of years, West Meath were competitive in the All-Ireland Series a couple of years ago. Far more so than Meath were a couple of years ago. Meath were nearly the worst team in the All-Ireland Series a few years back before they won the Tatchin Cup. And like...
Yeah, Westmeath went very close against some good teams. They had Tyrone on the ropes, they had Galway on the ropes, they had Armagh on the ropes. They had Heslin lay free against Tyrone, and then they had Armagh and Galway in the group 2 years running in the All-Ireland Series, and weren't disgraced by any means in any of those games. I think they had a red card in one against Galway and Mullingar, and there was a couple of late goals and against both. So
yeah, and David Hyland was making the point this morning, minus 13 score difference when they got rid of last
year.
So look,
I think deja vu every week.
Darragh, can we have a look there at that graphic again, 9th to 16th? So Meath, right, are in 11th place there.
Yeah.
They've got seriously punished here. Down 4 places.
They have been punished. They have been punished. And do you know what? I don't think I had any other option as the person who's been tasked with stewarding over these power rankings. I can't abdicate my responsibility just because of... look, I wasn't even born in Meath. I was actually born in the States, lads.
Here we go.
I'm not trying to relinquish any responsibility here. But I grew up in Meath, and I'm a Meath man.
North Meath.
North Meath, north of the wall. And look, I do think Meath are better than 11th in the country. But at the moment in time, right now in the power rankings, they aren't. And they're going to have to prove themselves. They're going to have to dust themselves down, look at themselves, have a really tough week this week, and try and make this the making of them over the next while. Let's call a spade a spade. A Leinster title this year for Meath would have been a major step in the right direction. Did I think they should have been favourites for the Leinster title this year? Absolutely not. I've been calling Louth for Leinster since the start of the year. 100%. I felt that way the whole way through it. Louth probably should have been promoted from Division 2. They only lost to Cork. Didn't play great that day. And Meath to a late two-pointer to Meath. They were the only games they lost. So look, Louth, maybe I had allowed Louth a little further down the power rankings. But Meath dropped back 4. If we want to have a little glance at slide 1, Louth up to 7th in the country, the Leinster champions. They're going to have to do a lot of work.
Look at the makers. That's
huge. It's a straight swap.
It's a straight swap with Meath, but also Cork dropped down one.
Yeah.
Because, didn't even play?
Because I was really impressed with Derry at the weekend.
It was ruthless, wasn't it?
And don't tell me it was just Antrim, right? Don't tell me it was just Antrim, because you have to turn up and execute and do your job.
28th are Antrim.
And Derry's 15. Derry's 15 was so strong at the weekend. They brought out Owen McAvoy to midfield with Brendan Rodgers. Conor Glass was playing as essentially a second six with 11 on his back, sweeping up all the breaks under the kickouts. They've one of the best half back lines in the country with McGrogan, Doherty and McInnes. And they're young Rory Forbes full back with Murray and McGuigan up top doing really well. So look, that's why Cork have slid back a little bit, but Cork can arrest that slide. I wouldn't even call it a slide. A little bit of correction. Cork can correct it again over the next couple of weeks, and I think there'll be a lot of change. Meath back to 11. It looks punitive. It looks harsh. But I would hope that the Meath footballers will respond to this slight, this defeat to Westmeath and this slight in the power rankings by proving how good they can be later this year.
Is that Meath's biggest ambition for the year gone?
What, to prove themselves in the power rankings?
No, no, no. Come on, don't be so facetious in this very serious slot. You mentioned David Highland.
I heard you mention this question today.
Tuesday morning's Off the Ball Breakfast. And you know where this is going, right? And he said that he had Meath favoured for Leinster, like many people did. And I thought that's the most tangible opportunity for success this year, to go one step further and lift the Leinster Championship.
I just before you jump in, as an outside kind of perspective on it, me looking at that, Meath in the Leinster Championship, for me, was absolutely the number one goal for this year. Surely.
Do you want to let me in?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was the gap.
There's two different questions here. Number one goal, most attainable, what was your question? Most attainable achievement this year?
Like achievement.
They've been promoted from Division 2 of the National Football League to Division 1 for next season. Meath went through a purgatory phase in their football, similar to Cork, where they existed pretty much in Division 2, apart from two seasons in 15 years, one in Division 3, and a jaunt up to Division 1 in 2020. In that jaunt up to Division 1, there was Super 8's football the previous year in 2019. They played more Division 1 sides in a 9-month spell than they had done in the previous 15 years. For Meath to get to where they want to get to again, they need to be playing Division 1 football, they need to be competing for Leinster titles, and they need to be in the mix in the All-Ireland series. 1 year doesn't make you a contender. Getting to an All-Ireland semi-final last year and falling short in the Leinster title. Yes, they had designs. Yes, it was an attainable goal this year. Yes, they've fallen short. But is that the end of the road? We've been crying out. A fellow Meath man pointed this out to me a little while ago. We've been crying out for a competitive Leinster championship for an awful long time. Mm. Now that we have one, we can't start whinging. You got to dust yourself down and go again.
I don't think anyone's whinging. I am certainly not whinging.
I'm not saying about you, but I'm saying Meath fans can't be whinging.
Okay.
Right? They got a fabulous summer last year. They rode the wave of momentum. It's a very young team who a little while ago were competing in the Tatchin Cup, similar to Westmeath.
Yeah.
They can bounce back from this. And the one thing I'd say as well, and it did warm my heart, when I watched back footage from Dr. Cullen Park at the weekend and Ockram at the weekend, the loudest cheers on both of those grounds pretty much was when the result for Westmeath and Meath was called out. And it's so funny in the Dublin-Wicklow game, the Dublin fans are celebrating. It's 10 minutes into the second half, the Dublin fans is called out over the Tannoy system that Westmeath have just beaten Meath by 418 to 25 points. Dublin fans are cheering as Mark Jackson kicks the ball out to Oisín McGrainor, who sends the ball into Owen Darcy, Wicklow goal.
Ah, yes.
And then the Wicklow fans start cheering. So, and Loud were the same. Loud had kind of swept Wexford aside. They hate us again. So I'm happy with that.
Yeah. Well, that is a good way to look at it. That would certainly be the Cork
effect. If Meath can bounce back in a couple of weeks' time. But they're going to be up against it.
This is not just about results. I'll bring you in on this, right, for Meath, right? It's not about results at all. It's about progress, right? So, Is it too simple, Tommy Rooney, to say base level for Meath now is to repeat the feat, get to the All-Ireland semi-final again? Is it more about progress? Would you rather see them play better and get knocked out in the quarter-final than not really make an awful lot of tangible progress that you can see, but get to another semi-final and get well beaten?
You're not making tangible progress, Colm, unless you get to an All-Ireland quarter-final because of the way that the format has changed this year.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's not as forgiving.
Okay.
So Meath now go into round one, and they've actually, their place is assured given promotion to Division 1. Tyrone's place, by the way, isn't yet assured, but it will be, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. There's four teams this weekend that could knock out a Cavan, a Monaghan, a Tyrone, and the four teams are down, obviously, as well. They're under a bit of pressure with Westmeath. But, you know, if Fermanagh or Clare or Tip beat Cork, if there's another big upset, if Leitrim beat Galway, one or the others will get knocked out as well. Currently, Down and Westmeath are the biggest ones capable of a shift. Meath will face a provincial winner away from home in round one of the qualifiers. Sorry, a provincial finalist in round one of the qualifiers. So you're either going to get, if we were to go off form lines, which is a dangerous thing to do, a Kerry or a Cork, potentially a Derry or a Donegal or an Armagh, a Louder Dublin or a Westmeath or Kildare, or a Galway, Mayo, Roscommon. So none of them are going to be easy. That's a tough game. You lose that game, you're into the losers round of the qualifiers. You get one more chance. You win that game and you're into the winners round of the qualifiers, where you're going to have a tough game. So it's a little bit more ruthless. The championship over the last few years is far too forgiving for teams, and I think we'll know what Meath are made of in a couple of weeks' time. I do think, though, it's worth lingering on our stat of the week this week.
Yes, please.
And I think it's worth mentioning one man in particular. And the fellow I'm going for is Ray Kinnellan. Ray Kinnellan is the only Westmeath man alive that has beaten Meath footballers. The only Westmeath footballers. A couple of hurlers.
But
the only Westmeath footballer that has ever beaten Meath in championship twice. 2015, Kinnellan kicked the point in the second half as Westmeath produced.
An amazing point, by the way, too.
Phenomenal point. a ridiculous comeback against Meath. Meath were 8 points up at half time, 9 points up with 50 minutes on the clock. Graham Riley gets a black card. Westmeath outscored them 2-8-1. I'm still haunted by it. Still get chills by sitting in the Hogan Stand that day in Croke Park and feeling the fervour of that comeback and the celebrations from Heston and Martin.
My experience in the Hogan Stand that day couldn't have been any more different. But
glorious. A glorious day in the Leinster Championship match that we didn't really get across that decade, so I could appreciate it at the time. But Cnellan, when you think of it, like, it's a remarkable stat, because Westmeath and Meath have been close in the last, if I look back at the last 25 years, excuse me, 2001, first year of the qualifiers, Westmeath are 9 points clear of Meath in the All-Ireland quarterfinal. They're after beating Mayo in the championship that year already in the qualifiers, and Meath stage a late comeback. Ollie Murphy gets a goal and Meath beat them in the replay with 14 men. 2003, Desi Dolan steps over a late free. He misses it to end the curse. Meath win the replay. So, start of the week, Ray Cnellan.
On this show, as entrepreneurs, we often talk about the courage it takes to start something from scratch. Every successful brand begins with a vision, a purpose, and someone willing to take a chance on an idea. And while every founder's journey is different, many share the same determination to overcome obstacles, innovate, and build something meaningful from the ground up. That's why I always enjoy hearing founder stories, because behind every product is a real person who has invested time, energy, and passion into building something meaningful. Walmart is helping customers discover products from thousands of small brands while giving founders opportunities to grow, reach new communities, and share the stories behind their businesses. By making it easier to discover these brands, Walmart helps connect customers with innovative products and the entrepreneurs whose passion, resilience, and creativity help bring them to market. So whether you're an entrepreneur yourself or a dream driver looking to be inspired, it's exciting to see more opportunities for small brands to be discovered. Visit walmart.com to learn more about the small brands and founder stories available in your community.
Okay, Matthew, what are your expectations of Westmead now that that has happened? They're actually the lowest placed out of the Leinster semi-finalists on Tommy Rooney's power rankings.
Yeah, I would say, like, as we mentioned, the Kildare-Westmead game is a bit of a toss-up. Like, there's probably differing senses in both camps off the back of them playing each other, really, in that Kildare kind of had a really good start to the league. They got to the final of the O'Byrne Cup, obviously lost to Westmead in that. And started well in the league, as I say, and then kind of slowed up and didn't carry the momentum through, and then obviously drew Laois and played Laois there at the weekend and got through that, and will probably be licking their lips at the prospect of playing Westmeath when they probably would have been planning to play Meath, who they were rolled over for pretty easily in the league itself, whereas Westmeath are coming in kind of after having a disappointing end to the league and turning up in championship mode against Meath and getting one over their biggest rivals, I suppose, and obviously going back to O'Connor Park on the same time in 2 weeks' time on the bank holiday weekend. It's going to be some prospect. As far as expectations go, I mean, what an opportunity. What an opportunity for both. But, I mean, for Westmeath, this is I suppose for the people of Westmeath, it's more of an unexpected opportunity than perhaps it is for Kildare. And I give them every chance against Kildare, naturally. Yeah. And then, in the Leinster final, look, they'll take on a life of its own. But I do think Louth are a few steps ahead of everyone else. But there'll be some
Ten of the Kildare team under 23 that started against Laois in that win. So Brian Flanagan has, and we did a bit of this on Breakfast over the last few weeks, he has made huge changes to that Kildare outfit as well.
It's a very well-paired Leinster semi-finalist, because it's 15th place against 16th place in Tommy Rooney's Harvey Norman football power ranking, and it's 7th place against 8th place Louth Dublin. Speaking of Tommy Rooney, what's your Harvey Norman Hawkeye moment this week?
Well, we're looking at close calls, right? And this can be officiating decisions, it can be shots, but we're looking at Wicklow and we're looking at Dublin, and Dublin surviving in Aucrum. And the missed chances will haunt McConville's team. Like 2-14 to 2-16 win for Dublin. They didn't score for the last 12 minutes of the game. But JP Nolan was true on goal and had, it wasn't as clear cut. He had two men inside him, but it's probably a Dublin defender. Like, he blazes it wide. The Dubs were down to 14 men at the time after Liam Smith's red card. Wicklow would hit the post at another crucial stage, which would have meant they only needed a single point later on to level it. Their goalkeeper, Mark Jackson, one of the finest kickers in the land, who had been one of Tadhg Leader's players over in the NFL when Charlie Smith got the nod, and Rory Began was over there too. Jackson has kicked 46 points in 10 games so far in 2026. He went 0 from 6 attempts off the deck for two-pointers in that game. Nailed one, and we've extra time. Yeah. Two, and they've won. In total, Wicklow had a 70% scoring efficiency in the first half. That dropped to just 30% in the second half when the game was in the melting pot. I know Shane McConville was talking afterwards about the missed chances. That's what comes back to haunt you. We had all the momentum, the opportunities. We showed everything needed to win except for that last little bit. It would have been as seismic a win as Westmeath was against Meath. This would have been an another level altogether.
And like the Raken Ellen stat in itself is remarkable. But as far as shock value goes and pure statistics, Mark Jackson going 0 from 6 from those attempts from the deck is like... that you just wouldn't expect that at all.
Yeah,
like, considering how consistent, how good he's been.
It was strange. He actually struck them all quite well.
I'd well believe it, yeah.
Do you know, like, none of them were like duffed or sent a mile wide. He struck them all quite well and none of them dropped over for him.
And do you know what, boys? You had to be there to have seen it, of course.
Yeah.
This is all very Leinster heavy power rankings, of course. Who is winning Leinster for you, by the way?
Westmeath. I have to say that. I think Louth. I think Louth are the best team in Leinster.
Well, speaking of Louth, they're your Harvey Norman County story of the week.
Yeah, I just think, you know, I had a chat with Sam Leroy at the Leinster launch a couple of weeks ago, and my opening question was, Sam, what's the story? All the talk is about the Dubs, who were favourites at the time with the bookies, and Meath for Leinster, now going in as defending champions. What's it like being going in under the radar as defending champions? He just laughed.
Yeah.
Suits us down to the ground. And it does. And they've asserted themselves again at the weekend against tricky opposition, Wexford. Now the thing is, they both came in cold to it. You know, I think it might have been a little different if Wexford had won a game the week beforehand, the way that Westmeath put 5-23 from play on Longford. I think that had Westmeath in a really good place. But Wexford, who have pushed Louth in previous years, could not get a hand on them really after the 15-20 minute, and Louth pushed on the second half. All their injured stars are returning. They got a half an hour into Ryan Burns. They got big time into Kieran Downey, who were just so important to them.
Didn't have to use Craig Lennon, yeah.
Craig Lennon on the bench, didn't have to use him. They have a date now with Dublin on Saturday week, an evening time throw-in in Port Laois. They're moved from third favourites to favourites with the bookies, so there's a reason for that. Mm-hmm. To defend our Leinster title as well. And when I look at the units that they've got across their team, they're bringing in some of the 20s, but like Darren McDonald and Connor Early, Connor Grimes and Tommy Dernan, Sam Leroy could well fit the winner's own ball. You know, their wing forwards they're all exceptional in the air. They've got the size, they've got the transition speed. I heard David Hyland talking this morning about how to play off the cuff and attack as well, and they do. They're a handful for everyone, and they've got their man markers in defence as well. So Louth are in a really, really good position. They're seventh on the power rankings. Do I see them going much higher than that on the power rankings this year? I could see them touching the top five, but I'm not sure either. You know, I'm not sure will they break the top five this year. You know, I think even a Leinster title with Louth, they might get the sixth. But like,
yeah, I think, yeah. You know, see, the thing is as well, you're looking at it, I'm kind of looking at it there with Roscommon in 6 and Mayo in 5. Mm. I'm thinking Roscommon and Louth, I wouldn't say there's a whole lot between. But then there's also a world where Roscommon go and beat Mayo at the weekend. Absolutely. And then you're thinking, okay, Louth, Mayo, what's between them? Yeah, I think you're right. I think 7, I wouldn't say it's their ceiling, but...
But do they deserve to be there right now? Have I jumped the gun a little bit? Obviously, having to manoeuvre Meath back a couple of spots.
No.
I just couldn't, for the life of me, move the Dubs forward, given the fact that Conor Collin went off injured.
No, there's no way you can be moving Dublin forward.
Pascal went off injured, Merchant went off injured, Ger Brennan is gone, banned for 12 weeks, so Dean Rock has stepped in. They're in disarray, really.
Yeah.
Now, can the Dubs dust themselves down and get ready for one last... jaunt against Louth.
Yeah, and that's what I was sort of getting at there as well. Like, Louth haven't beaten Dublin in a long time as far as Leinster Championships go. I mean, off the top of my head, I couldn't even tell you when it was, but it's a long time ago. And they're going to have to.
I'll tell you now in 2 seconds.
And they've had a lot of Leinster finals. Louth have been the last, what, 3 or 4 Leinster finals have played and obviously beat Meath in the last one, but when they've played Dublin in recent times, they ran them close.
Louth are looking to beat Dublin for the first time in 1973. They've had 13 failed attempts since then.
So there you go. Like, so there is absolutely going to be a bit of that, but I'm looking at this Louth team and there seems to be this sort of stoicism around them. When you're talking to Sam Leroy there and he's happy out, it's like these lads have no fear.
That's a good way of putting it. Yeah. Stoicism, and that was a word we associated with the Dubs for a long time as well. I think the Louth squad are happy where they're at. Mm. I think they've developed under Gavin Devlin, they've gone to another level altogether, and the 20s, the infusion of youth and quality from that 20s outfit has really beefed up their options as well.
This is the Power Rankings and Off the Ball with Harvey Norman, official stats sponsor of the GAA. Let's briefly just mention the Ulster Football Championship. Monaghan unchanged in 13th position, but let's talk Cavan here, down 2 places in 17th place.
Yeah, they've dropped a couple of spots, Cavan, and you know they may well be competing in the Ulster Championship, or sorry, not the Ulster Championship, the All-Ireland Series this year. But do you know what? I'm nearly looking at them thinking you'd be better off going on and winning the Tailteann Cup and giving yourselves a bit of a bump and a spark and maybe something to build on, the manner in which that Down are threatening to do, that Westmeath have done in ways, that Meath have done in ways. And, you know, Pat Blan was making the point that the Tailteann Cup shouldn't be for counties like that, the fallen giants like Cavan, who were the giants of Ulster football for so long. But, you know, after that, they had a great burst in the 2010s off a couple of brilliant young underage teams that eventually culminated in an Ulster title win in 2020, that winter during COVID against Donegal.
Yeah,
yeah, a phenomenal win, getting to an All-Ireland semi-final that year as well. So that was kind of the peak for Cavan football in the last couple of years, and it just hasn't clicked since. And I get the sense that they're not happy, and they are bringing through some young fellas under Dermot McCabe, and if they'd taken all their goal chances against Monaghan,
it could have been a different story. Game, Tommy. They were 9 points to one down, but they came back in that match.
And they gave Monaghan such a good start. Like, how? Like, do you know, how is that happening? But... and they missed a lot of goal chances. And Monaghan have got it in the bones over the last couple of years, the quality that they've exhibited in Division 1 football.
Yes.
Albeit they've had a really tough 2026. But, you know, Monaghan Derry is going to be a good matchup. But going off what I saw in the Derry Antrim game and where Derry are at the minute, I would be leaning towards Derry as of now to make an Ulster final.
We didn't know how mad we had it in 2020.
Tipperary with Munster as well.
We have a very forlorn Cavan producer there in the box listening to that. They're also done for a breach against Monaghan. You've seen that as much these days. I think it's still kind of, it gets me by surprise.
It does happen.
I think Meade might have gotten caught with one.
Did they?
At the game on Sunday.
Against Westmeath.
Yeah, there was a free given that was like a bit, what's after happening there? Yeah. And I think it was for a breach.
What I'm kind of seeing is sometimes if a sub comes in or if the game has fallen into kind of disarray and roles aren't exactly there, it does happen. You'd be very disappointed though at this stage if it did happen. And like, look, I'll be honest, I played a club league game, Division 2 in Clare at the weekend, and it was in West Clare. And the poor referee had no umpires, he had no linesmen. It was prison rules, really.
That's impossible.
You know, it was demolition football and a lot of ways.
Do you reckon there's a recognition from the players there to be like as in we're going to chance our arm here, there's no umpires, or we're going to have a bit of respect for this fella because he's got a big job in his hands here?
I probably got away with a breach or two, but nobody was really calling them at you know, during the game, like, so when I say a breach or two, maybe a couple of yards here and there.
Before we run through everything to wrap up this week's football power rankings, Meath's down 4 and Westmeath up 2. Is that a fair differential?
I did want to kind of ask the logic behind that in punishing Meath more than rewarding Westmeath. Is there anything in that? What's the thought process there?
Because I think
I necessarily disagree with it, but just
the dent that it gives to what Meade, you know, aspire to achieve this year. I think it is a significant dent. But like, Meade are guaranteed their place in the All Ireland series. Yeah. Meade are promoted to Division 1. Westmeath are languishing in Division 3 still.
Yeah.
You know, there's no guarantee that Westmeath will play All Ireland football, will compete in the Leinster final this year at all yet. There's still a big body of work ahead of them in the next 2 weeks. They will be sweating over the fitness of Luke Loughlin and Shane Allen, who both went off injured.
Yeah.
You know,
huge loss.
And like what Loughlin said the last day to Jonathan Higgins, I don't even know if I got the quote out earlier on, was myself and two young fellas inside, Brandon Kelly and Shane Corcoran, we fancy ourselves against any defence in the country. That I believe.
Yeah.
But Westmeath, like everyone else, they need their best 15 on the field.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think there's a, David Hyland actually alluded to it as well.
Yes.
I don't think there's a world where Luke Loughlin doesn't start that game, regardless of how fit he is, just because we know how, like, the type of character he is too. And there was mention of, obviously, if they do go and lose a game to Tailteann Cup, if the latter stages of the Tailteann Cup wouldn't be for the guts of 6 or 7, 8 weeks. So I do think he'd be involved in some way, shape or form. And if we do not hear anything, which we're not going to hear anything, it's going to be one of those that will be sprung on Kildare in one way, shape or form. There wouldn't be any kind of grounds for giving them any preparation into how they're going to deal with a Westmeath or Luke Loughlin less Westmeath. But again, there's a lot of talent in that, as you mentioned, a lot of the young lads there. Like, I mean, Danny Scahill, I just wanted to give him a mention, was playing a right cornerback, his brother, I'm sure people might have heard of young Will Scott.
When are we going to see a bit of Will?
Oh, I know, I'm telling you, look, listen.
I actually thought he might have been in the standby panel for Westmeath at the weekend.
He's so young, because I think he's only 16, is he 17 even yet? Like, it's crazy stuff. But Danny's the older brother who's deserves a bit of a mention. He was absolutely phenomenal there. Outrageous amount of turnovers there to back for him.
Let's have a final run through here of this week's football power ranks with Harvey Norman. So, New York in 33rd place. The only real change here in this one is Carlow down to 25th and one place. Then up next, we have Limerick down 1 in 24th. Wicklow up 2 in 23rd. Then you're going all the way to Wexford in 18th, down 1. Cavan in 17th, down 2. Westmead up two in 16th place. Kildare up one in 15th. Meads, the big, big movers in Tommy Rooney's power rankings this week. Down four places to 11th. Somehow Cork are down one place despite not playing in 10th. Derry are up one in 9th. And then the only change in the top eight is Louth. The huge, huge weekend for Louth in 7th position in the Harvey Norman football power rankings. Tommy Rooney, Matthew Brennan, thanks a mil.
Thanks.
That was relatively cordial and polite.
I think so, yeah.
Well, respect there.
You know, I have respect for Tommy coming in here now and facing up to it, you know.
Well, listen, I love GAA and Gaelic football, Gaelic games. I can appreciate the beauty of, like, I saw some Instagram stories, because I have a lot of friends and family in Westmead, Instagram stories from within Tullamore and O'Connor Park, and the Westmead fans going crazy. And then you can see some of the glum meatheads just head down. But like, that's just the beauty of why we love these games, like, and the results that it throws up. And it wasn't that much of a shock to me.
No, and I would say, and I did say that myself yesterday, I think there was a big result in this Westmead team, and it might, and I'm sure they will have ambitions of it not being the last.
Do it again.
Yeah.
Best of luck.
Your Harvey Norman power rankings in the can.